Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel, the Texas Genesis, chapter 16, verses 1 through 16. The Reverend Burnell Eckhart is preaching. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
The reading is written in Genesis chapter 16. Now Sarai, Abram's wife, had borne him no children. She had a female Egyptian servant whose name was Hagar. And Sarai said to Abram, "Behold, now the Lord has prevented me from bearing children. Go into my servant. It may be that I shall obtain children by her." And Abram listened to the voice of Sarai. So after Abram had lived 10 years in the land of Canaan, Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar the Egyptian, her servant, and gave her to Abram, her husband, as a wife. And he went in to Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, she looked with contempt on her mistress. And Sarai said to Abram, "May the wrong done to me be on you. I gave my servant to your embrace, and when she saw that she had conceived, she looked on me with contempt. May the Lord judge between you and me." But Abram said to Sarai, "Behold, your servant is in your power. Do to her as you please." Then Sarai dealt harshly with her, and she fled from her. The angel of the Lord found her by a spring of water in the wilderness, the spring on the way to Shur. And he said, "Hagar, servant of Sarai, where have you come from and where are you going?" She said, "I am fleeing from my mistress Sarai." The angel of the Lord said to her, "Return to your mistress and submit to her." The angel of the Lord also said to her, "I will surely multiply your offspring so that they cannot be numbered for multitude." And the angel of the Lord said to her, "Behold, you are pregnant and shall bear a son. You shall call his name Ishmael, because the Lord has listened to your affliction. He shall be a wild donkey of a man, his hand against everyone and everyone's hand against him. And he shall dwell over against all his kinsmen." So she called the name of the Lord who spoke. So she called on the name of the Lord who spoke to her, "You are a God of seeing." For she said, "Truly, here I have seen him who looks after me." Therefore, the well was called Ber Lalalai. It lies between Kadesh and Bered. And Hagar bore Abram a son, and Abram called the name of his son whom Hagar bore, Ishmael. Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bore Ishmael to Abram. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
In many and various ways God spoke to his people of old by the prophets.
But now in these last days he has spoken to us by his Son.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Dear friends in Christ, beloved in the Lord, let us consider this story. Sarah and Hagar are an allegory. They're a story. They're a picture. Of course, our liberal friends have often said that therefore they cannot be real figures. They deny the power and authority of Almighty God, who is quite capable of painting his pictures on the canvas of real history. That's always been their shortcoming. He is quite capable of doing this, and so he has given us the holy history of Israel. So we have two women, two wives of Abraham, Sarah, his chosen, and Hagar, who was given to him out of unbelief. And so these women represent for us faith versus unbelief. And of course, they became enemies, as faith and unbelief are always enemies, even when they exist in the heart of one person. Sarah and Abraham were first given the promise when they left their appointed land, when Abraham was already 75 years old. Look to the stars and count them if you can. So shall your descendants be. God had made this abundantly clear to Abraham, and Sarah knew it as well. How could it be? How could God do this? And so faith and unbelief began to struggle within the hearts even of the faithful. Abraham thought, well, maybe I'll present my servant in my house. He can be my heir. But God said very clearly to him, no, he will come out of your own loins, your heir. And that's when he again repeated the promise, so shall your descendants be. So the years went on until they were about 86 years old. And by this time, they were really beginning to wonder, has God kept his word? Maybe he needs our help. Always a bad idea. So Sarah comes to her husband and says, here, take my maidservant. Take Hagar. Have a son by her. Of course, you know the story. She went in and Abraham conceived. Abraham begat a son by Hagar. A son, Ishmael, who would not even have existed were it not for unbelief. There would have been only Isaac. Such is life in this world. Unbelief and faith are always next to each other and always must fight and wrestle and wrangle with each other. As indeed, Sarah and Hagar soon did. Although Sarah had, in a moment of weakness and unbelief, given Hagar to her husband, soon she realized the error of her ways, especially when Hagar began to fight and become her enemy. You have to love the name of the child, Ishmael, and what he was, a wild man. Well, that's the way unbelief is, at length always wild, unfettered, untied to the good and gracious God of Israel. Abraham and Sarah took a long time to learn and believe and trust confidently this promise, and they had a very hard time doing it. They often failed. No, Ishmael shall not be the heir. You shall, Sarah, you shall conceive and bear a child. Of course, then the three men visited, repeated the promise, and Sarah laughed, and we know what happened. Finally, at length, Isaac, the child of promise, was born. Just as God said he would be born. And then it seemed finally, long last, Abraham learned his lesson. When it came time for him to sacrifice his only begotten son on Mount Moriah, by this time, at long last, thanks be to God, he was ready to do it, believing that if he were to sacrifice the child of promise, God must raise him from the dead. And God stayed his hand at the last minute. He finally learned. Jesus said, he saw my day and was glad. And he rejoiced to see my day and came back with his beloved son, Lot, alive, living on the third day. But Isaac himself is not really a child of promise, is he? He also is a picture of the child of promise. He was not sacrificed. Was not the one, nor was the ram caught in the thicket. The sacrificed one would be the long-awaited one, who would be born of a woman without the agency at all of a man, our dear Lord Jesus Christ. He it was who became at last the sacrifice, who was crucified, dead, and buried. And because God's word cannot be broken, he had to be raised from the dead. That's why he rose from the dead, because God is true and never lies, cannot lie. So Jesus rose from the dead on the third day. Yes, on the day of joy and gladness for the people of God. So let us learn from this story, this wonderful image, that we ought never to think that we need to help God keep his promises. That's unbelief, even as it wrestles and wrangles with faith in our own hearts. Such is not the case. God does not need your help. Do not even think that by your own works or reason or helps, you will make God happy with you somehow. You already have a gracious God. He is already pleased with you for Christ's sake. His loving kindness is abounding, clear, full, has resulted not only in the sacrifice but the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ from the dead, hallelujah, so that we may have supreme confidence and be aware and know for sure that we already have a gracious God. And therefore, we do the works of faith, not in order to please him, but because we already have him, not to make him glad with us because he already is glad with us, but because this is so, to live lives of faith and love for one another, abounding in the same grace that we have been given through our beloved promised one, not the one born in Abraham's house, not Ishmael, not even Isaac, Christ Jesus our Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.